What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I'm John Batts with Professor Emily Wilson, whose new work is The Iliad by Homer. It's an audible book as well by Audrey McDonald, and I recommend the book to read along with Audrey McDonald's reading, because the actress and singer, this opera singer Audrey McDonald, has a range of voices to give you to understand their depths of motive in these characters as they come to their moments. And Aphrodite, every time she appeared, something bad was going to happen. What are we understanding about Aphrodite? She's just one of those women who's bad, 50 miles of bad road. Is that how to think about her?
I mean, all gods are bad if you're a human who gets in their way, right? I mean, Aphrodite is very dangerous to Helen, but she's also helped Helen and got her in a position of power. I mean, so in book five, we have two gods. Very unusually, gods are on the battlefield in book five, and those gods are Aphrodite and Ares, the gods who are presented as the most borderline ridiculous among the gods themselves. And I think that's partly because those gods are the closest to representing what is seen as baser human instincts, the either lust in the case of Aphrodite, she represents sexual desire and overwhelming lust, or Ares, who represents the overwhelming aggression and desire to kill. And in a way, both of them are presented as potentially ridiculous because both of them get wounded and then go crying to their mom and dad back in Olympus in a way that seems, in a certain sense, pathetic, because mortal characters deal with their wounds much more heroically than either Aphrodite or Ares do. And yet we also are shown that these are deities who have their own spheres of influence, and there's no way you should disrespect Aphrodite. I mean, Hector and Paris have an argument in which Paris says, I think in a quite reasonable way, everyone's given different gifts by the gods. If you're given gifts by the gods, he's being given sexiness by Aphrodite. You don't get to throw that away.
We were talking about pairs before, and while the Trojan side has these couples and these goddesses who pay attention to them, either to destroy Troy or to preserve Troy, on the Greek side, the couple is Achilles and Patroclus. Patroclus mm-hmm. is older, I believe. He's brought to this is Achilles, son of Peleus. That's your doing. Every time I think of Achilles' name now, I say son of Peleus.
Yes, you always got to give the patronymics. Yes.
Yes.
That's part of the way the world of the Iliad works, is that everyone is always connected to someone.
I know. I feel like I'm shortchanging him when I just say Achilles. Okay, Achilles, son of Peleus.
Say swift-footed Achilles then or something. Yes.
And give him an epithet. Patroclus is his boon companion. Mm-hmm. And is also a very sympathetic character. He cooks, he worries about Achilles, and he's sympathetic to Briseis. Mm-hmm. Briseis is not a wife, she's a possession, and we need to explain that. What mm-hmm. is today we say trophy wife. Does that translate from the Greek?
So in the Greek, I translate the term geras as trophy, because it suggests the kind of prize that a warrior is awarded by his fellow warriors in the wake of a military victory. During the past 9 years, when the poem begins in the start of the 10th year of the Trojan War, what have the Greeks been doing all this time? They've been sacking all the neighboring towns around Troy, all along the coastline of the Troad. And in the course of sacking those cities and villages, they've slaughtered the men and they've also enslaved the women. And then the quote unquote best of those women get parceled out among the various Greek leaders. So Briseis is one of those women who's been enslaved by the Greek army in the course of sacking her home city.
She doesn't have much of a voice, but I remember there's a scene, and you highlighted it in your notes, where she thinks well of Patroclus, even though she's being led away. Mm-hmm. And Patroclus thinks well of her. They have a good relationship. Patroclus has his own trophy next to him. Mm-hmm. But Patroclus is also, He practices medicine. He's a man of all trades. He's actually mostly modern. We'd call him a beta male. Is that fair?
I don't think we would call him a beta male whatsoever. I mean, the Iliad shows you these multiple sides to the characters, right? So both Hector and Patroclus are identified as characters who have a capacity for kindness to those who are out of place. So Hector has a capacity. Hector is mourned in the final lines of the poem by Helen as having shown kindness to her when nobody else showed kindness to her. And similarly, Briseis mourns Patroclus once he's dead as somebody who showed kindness to her as an enslaved woman to whom very little kindness was coming. But at the same time, in book 16, when Patroclus puts on the armor of his friend Achilles, when Achilles is still refusing to fight, Patroclus goes out as Achilles' second self to fight for him, to fight Hector off from the Greek ships. And he's a very brutal killer. He's extremely good at killing. And in fact, he kills, depending on the count, he kills more people than Achilles himself does. And he also mocks them as they die in extremely creative ways, calling them gymnasts or fisher people. So I don't think we should sort of sentimentalize Patroclus or think he's exactly the same as, you or I. I mean, I'm guessing that you haven't massacred as many people as Patroclus gleefully does.
No, and I don't wear bronze armor either. No. But,
yes, okay.
But what I liked about Patroclus is that he... Well, let's try another version, because oftentimes Patroclus and Odysseus, they're so close, Odysseus thinks of him as himself, so they're interchangeable.
And Achilles, you mean, right?
Achilles,
Patroclus,
yes.
And Achilles, yes.
And Patroclus has a human side that Achilles doesn't demonstrate until the end.
I'm not sure about Achilles not demonstrating a human side. I mean, I think you see very clearly that Achilles is extraordinary. And maybe it depends what we mean by human. I mean, we see Achilles' emotions and we see him crying before any of the other Greek men have cried. We see him weeping to his mother in that intimate scene at the end of book one, where he's desperate because his honor has been violated by Agamemnon and he's desperate for some kind of recompense. And he has this awareness of his own death. There's an intimacy, as you say, between Achilles and Patroclus, which is unlike any other pair of characters in the poem, including the married characters. But in a way, it's also echoed by the bond, I mean, to lesser degrees, by the bonds between...
Professor, we better get to the plot. We've held back long enough. No, Emily Wilson, Iliad, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.